We've made it to hour number four of Sports Talk with Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. It's Rivalry Thursday. We're brought to you by OEB Law and by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. We've got a lot coming your way before we step aside for Rivalry Thursday, as it'll be Brian Rice and Tommy Sweat on the call tonight, Campbell County playing host to Clinton. We look forward to being joined by VFL and all-around great guy Steve Hamer. That'll be for Hamer Time in segment number two this hour. We'll also talk college football with Rick Neuheisel, CBS college football analyst as well as former head coach. He'll be on board with us around 6:35. But right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. And, Vince, what's up for grabs tonight?
John, a $25 gift card to Edwin Watts Golf.
All you have to do is be the first caller with the correct answer to this question. We talked about open dates yesterday, and we continue the conversation tonight. So there are two Tennessee coaches that had at least 8 games after an open date and never lost. Name the two coaches. There are two UT coaches who had at least 8 games where they played after an open date and they never lost. Tell us the two coaches. 865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. Let's start with Jeff. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
This one's interesting. All right. I'll see if I can wade through some of the stuff. I'll try Gerald Nealon and Philip Fulmer.
You were half right. You were off to a great start.
Very good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Have a great night. Let's go next to Mark. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Mark.
Hey, John. How are you?
Doing fine. And yourself?
Doing all right. I'm going to say General Nealon and Vicky.
Wow. We got through this one faster than I thought we would. But you're absolutely right.
Oh, you're absolutely
right. Because General Nealon had 13 games after an open date. He was 10-0-3, 6-0 against SEC competition. Doug Dickey was 8-0 following an open date, including 6-0 against SEC opponents. So for those that coached at least 8 games after an open date for the University of Tennessee, General Nealon and Doug Dickey are the only two coaches that were unbeaten. Can tell you right now that Josh Heupel is 1-0. But, Mark, you are our winner. Congratulations. Vince, tell him what he's won.
Got a $25 gift card to Edwin Watts Golf. They use Launch Monitor Club Fitting Technology and offer full-service club repair. You can drop by to practice in their hitting bays and golf simulators, or you can browse a collection of golf equipment, apparel, and accessories. Check them out online, worldwidegolfshops.com. Mark, good job.
Outstanding work, Mark. Hang on the line so we can get your prize information. And good luck to your Bengals tonight.
Thank you so much. We need it.
And that takes care of the Sports Fix at 6. And, of course, it's Rivalry Thursday, as I mentioned, which means we always get to cross paths with one of our favorites, and that's Tim Elrod of OEB Law. Tim, how are you?
I'm good, John. I'm good. It's good to see you. Vince, good to see you.
Good to see you.
I know you're listening. How you doing, man?
He's having a blast.
He is, I bet.
He's so critiquing us, let's be honest.
Well, that's true. I hope I pass.
So anyway. You got a big 5A matchup tonight. You've got two teams that have played each other a lot through the year. This is the 42nd time that Clinton and Campbell County will square off. Dragons dominated the series, but the Cougars have done a nice job of controlling the issue of late.
You know, it seems like every time Clinton and Campbell County play, Clinton gets the best of them for innumerable reasons. But I think this year there's a different feel to this game. Clinton's coming in very confident. They have been tested. Made a good showing versus Oak Ridge, you know, difficult at the end. But listen, that Clinton team's on the rise. They've got two really good linemen with offers. I think one of them's Rhett Seavers. That's a powerful lineman, and hope he does well tonight. But the Keith kid for Clinton, the quarterback, has really shown some glimpses of maybe the future for him. Is he's a junior this year. So Clinton's coming up here with a strong team. I think the Cougars need to be ready for one tonight.
I don't think there's any question they will be. And of course, you follow the action on Thursdays and Fridays and through the weekends. But it's always neat when you get to be here where
like Campbell County. It's a community that just every you kind of roll up the streets when it's time to play ball.
Love coming to Campbell County. This is a ball-driven community. Let me assure you of that. From the Pee Wee Grass Cutter Leagues all the way up to their middle schools, Jacksboro, La Follette. Boy, they play some ball up here, especially basketball, too. Don't forget that. But tomorrow night I got another 5A game. I think I've got the Oak Ridge Powell game, so that ought to be a interesting, very interesting game. But this game tonight I think determines a potential playoff spot.
Yeah, so. And that game is connected too because those are two of the teams that are 2-0 in the same region.
So. Right. So very competitive at this level. You know, I think there's separation between the upper and the lowers. So it's exciting time. So I'm excited about that on BBB 12 tomorrow night. So good times.
Tim, is this season flying by for you like
this
for us?
It is. It is. It's starting to, you know, I told John tonight, I'm glad I wore a jacket because it's starting to get that little chilly air. And that's football weather. I mean, that's when you strap them up and hear those pads pop. And it's a good scene. And I'd encourage anybody tomorrow night, get out to your local high school football game and enjoy the show.
Yeah, how's business for you? I know you're always out and about representing and supporting high school sports, but how's everything for you?
Right. Well, you know, we're very fortunate and blessed to be able to help so many people in the communities from all of the Knoxville community. And I believe that if you are successful, you need to give back to the community. And giving back to the community is what is important because it works both ways. And I'm very fortunate to be in that position. I like to put it where it's going to be the most meaningful, where it can really reach in beyond the football field. You know, it reaches into the classroom. It reaches into the arts department. And those are areas that need funding. And, you know, there's a little bit of money that they can spread around. And I know a lot of schools do that, and that just makes me proud.
Awesome. As it should. And, of course, you guys are always on hand if somebody needs your all's help when it comes to turning a wreck into a check.
You know me, John, 546-1111. Boom.
Right.
There
Boom.
It is.
There it is.
There it is, John.
John was saying that when he arrived. That was what he said.
That's right.
It's a catchy tune.
That's right. You might be down. You might be out. But you're not quite done.
Until you call
546-1111.
My goodness. Well, there you have it. Marketing works. Just give me a call. I'll show you what I can do. We'll do you a good job.
Enjoy the football tonight, tomorrow, this weekend, and we'll catch up next Thursday.
All right. Sounds great.
That's Tim Elrod of OEB Law. We'll get a break. When we return, Steve Hamer joins us for Hamer Time on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Always fun when we get to this music bed because it's Hamer Time as we are joined by the VFL all-around great guy, the Rim Tamer, Steve Hamer, for his weekly visit with us. Brought to you by A.G. Hines Company. Steve, hello.
John, how are you doing? You and Vince, man, you guys are sounding awesome as always.
Well, having a lot of fun on this Rivalry Thursday, and it's always fun when we just get to the point where things just, as to borrow the line from the SEC, it just means more. You've got region matchups tonight. You've got the home stretch when it comes to Major League Baseball, and you've also got what is SEC play hot and heavy, really, from this point forward. But why don't we start first, because I know it's something near and dear to you. It's a big weekend that's coming up with the Champions Weekend, and this is about the is today the last day to RSVP?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, John. It's a tremendous undertaking that we as an athletic department have a vision for, and that's honoring all of our letter winners from many different eras from sports history. Whether it's the 2002 women's soccer SEC championship team or the 1972 men's basketball regular season championship team, so. A lot of these great, great individuals will be coming back, and will be back on Rocky Top, back on the Hill again. Many of them, for the first time in several years. So the deadline to RSVP is actually tomorrow, tomorrow night at midnight. We've got a great, great count thus far, and looking forward to just seeing a lot of great letter winners from years past and honoring these people in the right manner. So we could not be more excited and can't wait to get this undertaking going.
Well, fantastic. And certainly hope that those that can get that get in by the deadline do so, because it's great to know that you've already got great great response to it already. What did you think in terms of the atmosphere, everything that went around Tennessee's victory over Florida last Saturday?
John, I thought it was tremendous. I thought the atmosphere was just electric. Standing on the field, I was talking to several of our former players, Josh Dobbs, Cam Sutton down there, that just intimated to me that this was probably as loud as they've ever heard Neyland. And you could feel the buzz down there on the field. You could feel the energy, and our fan base is just second to none. They were in full throat from the opening whistle to the close of the game, and I really think that our team fed off of that in a manner in which, you know, they just weren't going to let our fans down, and our fans weren't going to let our players down. And when you've got that type of combination, man, it speaks volumes to what that atmosphere, to what Neyland Stadium can actually bring to the table. You know, one of the most iconic venues in all of sports was just at its finest this past Saturday, even though, you know, had a few heart palpitations after the onside kick there, but never a doubt, because I knew that the guys would show up when they needed most.
Steve, did you throw around your weight, your networking, your status in the community to make sure that Tony Vitello did not get arrested, which is his first and only goal from the weekend?
Hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you, man, every single time I'm within 20 feet of that guy, my image, my status immediately goes upwards, right? It goes upwards tenfold. Because, you know, that to me, one of the most down-to-earth individuals that we've got, you know, in our athletic department. And, man, you're not going to find a more well-rounded coach, because he knows the game of baseball, obviously. But he also knows, you know, the intangibles within football and basketball, and it's just such a sports fan in general. And, man, you know, again, the fact that he didn't end up in jail, that's good, right? It's a good thing.
He's like a celebrity moving into a neighborhood, like in the housing industry, and totally upping everybody's home value. That's Tony Vitello for sure. So Rick Barnes talked yesterday as practice about to get underway. I know you've seen this Tennessee basketball team and some of the offseason work that they've put in. I thought it was very interesting what he said about a couple of guys. Start with B.J. Edwards. He said that he was one of the more pleasant surprises because he had to deal with Zakai Ziegler and, you know, guarding him and going up against him, who was in midseason form. What are your impressions of B.J. Edwards to this point?
I'm very impressed, Vince, by B.J., especially in the time that has transpired from the summer when I initially saw him work out with the guys to this past week. I think he has grown mentally. I think that he has earned or maybe even carving out a niche for himself by playing exceedingly tough, especially on the defensive end. Again, you know, I think it's going to be tough for him to crack the lineup when you got to get through a Zakai Ziegler, a Josiah Jordan James, Santiago Vescovi. You know, those guys are going to be stalwarts in a lineup. So, you know, for him to carve out a role and to catch the eye of Coach Barnes as being an early season surprise, kudos to B.J. But we all knew coming out of Catholic high school that the kid worked hard. You know, he stayed in the gym and gave some extra time before practice and after practice. So, you know, and when you have to guard a Zakai Ziegler, who Coach Barnes said just yesterday, you know, he's always in midseason form. He's never out of shape. He's always ready to play. So when you've got to guard someone like that, you know, you're going to get better. And I think B.J. has done that. He's gotten better.
What was it like we got when you were at Tennessee, when it was the start of practice, where you were past workouts and now it was honest-to-goodness practice with getting ready for a season. How much fun was it when you finally crossed that threshold?
It was great, because, let's face it, when you go through the rigors of summer workouts and early fall workouts, it can become a grind. It can become monotonous. It can become something in which you look at and go, I got to get through another two and a half hour workout today, and look forward to tomorrow. But when you finally get to that first official day of practice, you know that the season is right around the corner. You know that tip off, whether it's exhibition play or regular season, is right around the corner, and you've got something in that mirror that you can look at and say, man, it's here. And I got to get myself ready. My teammates are going to count on me, and I'm counting on my teammates. So, you really look forward to that ball rolling out first day of practice, because, oftentimes, as in the case of this Tennessee team, it did not end the way that they wanted it to end last year with a loss to Michigan in the NCAA tournament. And moreover, they know that the season did not end the way that the fans wanted it to end. So they've got a bad taste in their mouths right now, and those guys are itching to get back at it, because I know deep down in their hearts they're ready to prove everyone wrong in terms of, hey, man, we're going to get over the hump. We're going to make a deep run in the tournament, and this is our year to do it.
There was quite a bit of turnover on the roster, and some really nice pieces came in. And what do you think it's like when you do have, as you mentioned, there's a burning fire for those that went through the last game last year and how the season ended, that can't wait to get out and perhaps acquit themselves better. But how do you get the newcomers in line? Because it's not as though they're all freshmen, but how do you get them in line and to feel that same feel?
Yeah, I think it starts with the culture that Coach Barnes has implemented. I think Coach Barnes has done such a wonderful job of gathering pieces in play that are going to fit that culture. Obviously you're going to have to knock off some rough edges here and there, but for the most part, these guys already, whether it be a Julian Phillips or a Tyreek Key, a B.J. Edwards, they knew what to expect before they even got on campus, because they know what type of coach Barnes is. He's going to be very demanding on the defensive end. He's going to be very particular on the offensive end, getting to your spots, taking the right shots, utilizing the offense, utilizing the sets. So these guys, although they were not on last year's team, they feel that burden. If you're a Julian Phillips, you're a five-star guy that transferred from LSU. He knew what it was like last year when his team played the University of Tennessee and the expectations that the Vols had. So now he's on the other side, and he feels those expectations as well. So he is going to be just as bought in as a Josiah Jordan James is, as a Zakai Ziegler or a Santiago Vescovi, because those guys came here to win. They didn't just come here to say, well, it'd be great if we make it to the finals of the SEC tournament again, or maybe we can make a sweet 16 run in the NCAA tournament. Those guys come here with expectations, and I think they've all bought in, and we're going to see the result of that.
How many Steelers questions did you hit Cam Sutton with?
I tried to just keep it positive. I tried to just say, Cam, man, I'm proud of you. We're off to a less than stellar start, but, man, I didn't want to ruin the moment for Cam, because his eyes were as focused on the Volunteer football team in their game against Florida. So I just kept it above par, although I did want to ask him about a certain quarterback, the controversy that's brewing in the state of Pennsylvania right now over that certain quarterback. So all was good.
So there wasn't at least one? Come on, it's time for Pickett's charge, isn't it?
Mitch Trubisky, I think he's a decent quarterback, but I think it's really unfair for him or Kenny Pickett or Ben Roethlisberger or anyone else to stand behind the poorest offensive line that we've got right now that has a great difficulty in run block or pass block. They're just in shambles right now. So Mitch is doing its best, but I can tell you this, John. I think it's time for Pickett's charge. I really do.
Steve, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Enjoy the open date, and we look forward to catching up with you next Thursday.
John and Vince, thank you guys, as always. Always a pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you. Steve Hamer joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, and, of course, his appearance brought to you by our friends at A.G. Hines Company. And the great thing, Vince, about A.G. Hines is they've got two locations to fully service Knoxville and East Tennessee. And from masonry to roofing supplies, they offer tons of products to get your project going. And we appreciate all that they do that helps us do what we do.
Yep, and smart to be associated with such a great guy like Steve Hamer.
The Rim Tamer. We'll get a break. Up next, Vince, we'll turn our attention to college football.
Yeah, we'll talk to Rick Neuheisel from CBS and SiriusXM.
He joins us next on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams, and we hope to connect here in mere moments with a friend of the program who's been really good to join us, whether it be SEC Media Days, you name it, to talk college football.
Yeah, really complimentary of Tennessee going into the year. And, of course, Tennessee has earned those compliments on the national level from Rick with his show on SiriusXM Full Ride with Chris Childers each weekday morning. And then also you see him in studio on the SEC on CBS and done a ton of interviews. And I very high on Josh Heupel, and you know, he broke down a lot of all the options that Hendon Hooker has in each play and how dangerous that makes him and the offense, and look forward to getting his insight on what he's seen from that play out this year and just what some of his biggest takeaways from that win over Florida were, because obviously Tennessee got the win. I think that's the overriding thing you can look at. I know a lot of people are focused on the defense has to be better. What about the play calling at the end of the game? I think the win is the biggest thing. So let's talk to Rick Neuheisel, who is analyst for the SEC on CBS and weekdays does a great radio show, Full Ride with Chris Childers. That is Rick Neuheisel. Rick, Vince, and John here in Knoxville. How are you, Rick?
What's up, boys? Cruising into Grand Central Station as we speak right now, so all is well.
Yep, and for your in-studio duties, and you got a chance to get a look at Tennessee and Florida last weekend. What were a couple of your biggest takeaways from Tennessee kind of getting off the schneid? Not kind of, definitely getting off the schneid, having previously lost 16-17 to the Gators.
Well, before we talk about Hendon Hooker, who is my takeaway one, takeaway two, takeaway three.
Right.
Let's also talk about an unbelievable crowd.
Yeah.
Neyland Stadium was rocking, and it was fun for us in the studio to take that all in. It was really really a great scene and what college football is all about.
For sure. So give us your – I remember when I caught up with you at SEC Football Media Days, you were, as I was reminding John and our listeners about all the options that Hendon Hooker has within a play and how dangerous that offense is with that and the tempo that Josh Heupel runs this offense with. And they got out to the big lead and then hung on. What were your biggest standout thoughts on Hendon Hooker from that game?
Well, the guy is so cool as the quarterback. I mean, he's just very aware of what Josh Heupel wants to get done with the offense. He understands there are options, whether it be take a quick throw to one of the wideouts if they're uncovered, forcing a team into the box. If they're not in the box, he's going to run the ball, whether it's handing it off to the running back or keeping it himself. He's just very, very aware. And what makes him ultra dangerous is he never turns it over.
Yeah.
Now, I know all Volunteer fans are knocking on wood that continues. But the bottom line is, this is a guy, as we go through Grand Central Station, I apologize, this is a guy that is, you know, equipped to just make the right decision time and time again. And that makes him just the absolute perfect quarterback for Josh's system. Add a defense that's given up less than 20 points a game, giving up less than 100 yards a game rushing. You've got the makings of a championship team. I know that's early in the deal, but you knock off one of the teams that's troubled you, there's no reason you can't play with the teams that are left on the schedule.
Rick, don't worry about the background noise. That's some of us over here. We're at a high school game, and an ambulance is backing in. So we're contributing to the background noise, so don't worry about it at all.
That's okay, right. Good to know.
Coach, you mentioned the crowd, and it really was something to see. We saw something like this last year when Ole Miss came to Knoxville, but to see a sellout against Akron, then the sellout against Florida, and you, of course, were a part of that as you built or rebuilt programs when you were a head coach. What does it mean to a staff and players when you see that kind of support as to say, yeah, we're here with you. We see what you're doing.
There's nothing like that kind of energy. There's nothing like it. And it becomes the 12th man. I know we have Texas A&M kind of cornered the market on that saying, but when you are in earnest, when you're there giving your all and you can feel that on the field, it's why, you know, you make diving catches, which was the kid made right before the end of the half. It's why Brew McCoy all of a sudden, you know, is a 100-yard receiver. I mean, all these guys are playing to their highest level because they just want to entertain a crowd that is dying to be into the action. It's really fun stuff.
You don't get to pick when your open date happens, but tell me, when you were a coach, what did you appreciate most? One that was well-timed where you had a chance to get guys healthy, or did you prefer one that was a little deeper into the season? How did you always try to get the most out of an open date?
I think this one comes at a perfect time for Tennessee because it was an emotional win. And when you're coming off an emotional win, it's hard to not want to keep hearing about the, you know, the attaboys that you get on campus, that you get around town. So for them to heal, I know Cedric Tillman's trying to get better. For them to heal and also get over the emotion of the victory and get back to business and fixing the things that are showing up on tape that can be fixed, that's an important deal. So I think this comes at a perfect time for Josh.
Rick Neuheisel from the SEC on CBS, CMN Studio for each week's game. It'll be Alabama at Arkansas on CBS this Saturday. And Rick joining us here on Sports Talk. I'm Vince Ferrara with John Wilkerson. Rick, Tennessee's defense, fans, that's been their biggest criticism of this team, even though they're 4-0 coming off a win in Florida. There's now the standards are starting to rise. Now you're a top 10 team and you want more, and that defense certainly has to improve. What did you see or have you seen from this Tennessee defense and some of the big plays, the open receivers that they have given up and missed tackles they've had to this point?
Well, I think that Tim Banks is, you know, making it a priority to stop the run, which is kind of what the axiom is for most defensive coordinators. If you believe you can win games by running the ball and stopping the run, then that's what you do. And he has done that. They're giving up less than 100 yards a game. All of a sudden, you know, the Pitt quarterback gets nicked up. You've got them one-handed. You've got a chance to win that game, and they get it done. You obviously, in the Florida game, Anthony Richardson, you couldn't let him beat you with his legs. So Anthony's going to have some opportunities. When you get a running quarterback, he's going to have some opportunities to get single coverage, and he took advantage of it. Give Anthony Richardson a pat on the back for that, but he didn't beat you. And as a matter of fact, the score was 38-21 before it got crazy there. So I think that things are going perfectly for Tennessee, and yet they've got everybody's attention because there are big plays being given up, and so there's some things that can be corrected in the man-to-man world and in the single-high world when you are – predicated to beat the run game.
I know LSU, before they get to Tennessee, host Tennessee, they have to take care of business against Auburn this weekend, but LSU is largely playing better. What are some key points to note about what LSU is right now?
You know, it's going to be very interesting to watch that game because both are built the same way. Both are built to, you know, be able to feature a running quarterback. Jaden Daniels for LSU is certainly equipped to do that. All you had to do is watch the end of the game against Florida State, and you can see what he can do with his legs. those were not necessarily scripted runs, but you can understand how they all evolved to that. And then you got, Hendon Hooker on the other side. This is going to be one of those games where defenses are going to be into the box, forcing one-on-ones outside, and whoever executes the best outside in those one-on-one environments, whether it be receiver making a play or the quarterback making the perfect throw, that's really what that game's going to come down to in my mind.
Coach, if you don't mind, can we jump outside the SEC? I just want to get your thoughts on who wins the new Heisman Bowl as Washington takes on UCLA.
Well, you know what? I said this on my TV show the other day that, they have this segment where we give one thought, so I always do it with a rhyme. I said it was an honor to coach at both of those schools. I had lots of wins and laughs. I'm going with UCLA in this game because my son is on the staff. That's it. I mean, keep it in the family, right? It'll be a great game. Again, just like we talked about Hendon Hooker and Jaden Daniels in that matchup in the Bayou next week, you've got Dorian Thompson-Robinson and Michael Penix. Michael Penix is resurrected. He was, kept getting hurt at Indiana, was inconsistent. But the guy that he threw for, two-thirds completion percentage, 67%, was Kalen DeBoer. Kalen DeBoer was the offensive coordinator there before becoming the head coach at Fresno State. So with that being said, he gets reunited. There's some confidence there. There's some trust. And they've got a relationship where all of a sudden they're scoring points again. And the Husky fans, having been so terrible offensively last year, are thrilled to death. So 4-0 versus 4-0 in the Rose Bowl. Chip Kelly and Dorian Thompson-Robinson are going to be excited to be hosting those dogs.
Michael Penix, one-time Tennessee commit, as that was a while ago. But
was he really? I didn't know that.
Yep. During a coaching change to Pruitt is when
– I can't slide anything by you, checkerboard boys.
Hey, unfortunately, as you know, during the Jeremy Pruitt era, there's a lot of players that left and moved on. Even last year for Josh Heupel in the transition, there was a lot of players that went elsewhere. So that's – trickled without. All right, your game on CBS, Alabama at Arkansas. Obviously, Bama's a big favorite. And what kind of shot do you give Sam Pittman and that crew to pull that upset at home?
You know, I give them a puncher's chance. I do. I think let's talk Arkansas. Let's talk positive Arkansas. KJ Jefferson is the absolute perfect running quarterback because we can see that his passing game is evolving. He's going to get single high coverage because they've got to gang the box because he's a running back. And he's learned how to take advantage of it. The difficulty for them is they don't have Treylon Burks anymore. Treylon Burks in this game against Alabama last year had almost 180 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns. So somebody's got to step up for Arkansas and get that done. Whether it's Jaden Hazelwood, the transfer from Oklahoma, or somebody else, somebody's got to step up. But if that happens, then I think that there's a chance in front of a home crowd, much like we just saw in Knoxville last week. I think that there's a chance that this could go their way. They're going to need Alabama to stumble a little bit. But Alabama, since Jameson Williams and John Meshey got hurt, have not been the same throwing the football. Now, they've been able to run it. These two teams, Arkansas and Alabama, I think are 9th and 10th in running the football in the country. So they haven't necessarily needed it. But when you saw that Texas game, that was close because they were not separating. They were not making the plays that we'd seen over and over with Meshey and Williams. And before them, Judy, Ruggs, Devontae Smith, and Jaden Waddle. They just don't have those guys. Or at least if they do, they haven't blossomed like those guys have blossomed. So with that being said, in front of a raucous crowd, a ball doesn't bounce always the right way with a football. I think Arkansas has a chance. I'm not necessarily banking on it, but I would not be surprised that game gets into the fourth quarter and some magic happens for the Hogs.
They'll have the game and the breakdown, SEC on CBS, 3:30 kickoff, Alabama at Arkansas on CBS. Rick, always nice to visit with you. Thank you so much for the time. Safe travels and finish that off, and we'll talk to you soon.
The hustle and bustle of a train station, boys. Nothing like it. You guys enjoy your beautiful little southern city and enjoy the rest of the SEC season.
Sure will.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. It's Rick Neuheisel from CBS and SiriusXM.
Yep. Sure do appreciate the time and joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll get a break and be back to close out today's edition of Sports Talk. That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. Brought to you by OEB Law and by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. This is 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back to say so long for today's edition of Sports Talk. Vince Ferrara, if folks happen to miss anything that they want to go back and hear, it's very easy to do exactly that.
That's right. 99.1thesportsanimal.com.
We say thank you to OEB Law and to Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair for sponsoring Rivalry Thursday. And what we'll do now is step aside as up next, Brian Rice and Tommy Sweat have the call. High school football is next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.